This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
You know, with your game this year, there's so much talk about the shooting, but then the other things you do to make up for all that sort of stuff. There's so much conversation about it. Do you totally disengage from that stuff? Do you hear what people say?
I've been disengaging that conversation since started playing basketball when I was 8.
Is that hard to do?
Nah, I've been blessed with the time to not to give a f-.
Most hated United, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. Two of the most polarizing players in the NBA, both from Los Angeles. Teammates for 3 years in Oklahoma City, reunited. And to many, it feels so good. Feels good to me, John Lopez, a little bit more skeptical. Is it risky? Absolutely. You bet your butt. There are a lot of risks. There's a lot of question marks. Can these two guys fit? Does Russell Westbrook fit in Mike D'Antoni's system from a personality standpoint? Two alphas, ball-dominant alphas. Can that work out? There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of risk with this. But, John, we were talking during the break about the fit of these guys together. And I got to say, it might be as easy as just doing something unconventional to where we saw the three-guard offense last year with Chris Paul, James Harden, and Eric Gordon. We could maybe see a lineup with Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Eric Gordon on the court at the same time, and that just opens up a lot of possibilities.
It might be your starting lineup. I mean, it could well be your starting lineup, depending on how they want to go small. Eric Gordon will be, you know, just posting up. Because D'Antoni's offense, all right, let's talk about style first and then the risks, okay? D'Antoni's offense is ISO, no post-ups, ISOs finishing at the rim and some alley-oops to Capella or whomever, right? I mean, spot up for the three, step-back threes.
I would say his offense in Houston. I want to preface that.
Yeah.
His offense in Houston has been different.
But let's be clear now. That's the offense that you have to play in Houston because of James Harden and Eric. You've built for that offense until yesterday. I mean, you can agree with that, right?
Sure.
You've built for the perimeter offense, you know, with Gordon and Tucker, and you brought in House, who plays that role, and Green, who plays that role. So you have built your offense around perimeter, you know, knock down the three, spot up in the corners, and benefit from all the attention James Harden and Chris Paul are getting. And then if you're a big man, you know, finish at the rim. Clint Capella is an alley-oop machine on James Harden's drives, and for that matter, with Chris Paul's as well. That changes now. You know, the style has to change. You might go three guard. I think the lane is going to be a lot more congested. You're not going to reprogram. You might run some plays that are different, but you're not going to reprogram Russell Westbrook from dribble drive. You know, it's not going to happen. That's what he's built his entire life of basketball around. So the lane's going to be congested for Capella and whomever else is in there. He's a finisher at the rim. He's a good ball distributor, so Capella might benefit from some of that, but it's still going to be congested, and he's a mid-range shooter. And you and I had a talk with Mike D'Antoni last offseason in a very casual setting, and he was talking about how it just killed him. You know, we were talking about, I asked the stupid question. I said, are you going to post up
Carmelo?
And he laughed. He goes, nope. Okay.
Yeah, but a lot of that was he said that Carmelo wasn't willing to do it. Like it really wasn't his ideal thing.
No. He said that's not his. He said he would not do it. No, that's not true. Because I maybe you left the room, but I was talking about it. I said, look, that's what Carmelo plays, a very Russell Westbrook, not as athletic.
Easy, dude.
No. The approach to the game. You know, he's a mid-range guy. He's a post-up guy, and he likes to get to the rim. No, he's not as athletic, obviously, as Westbrook. And D'Antoni basically laughed at the concept. Well, now he's got to make it work, because this isn't. That's the other thing. There's $171 million here you have invested in Russell Westbrook. You can't just you know, throw it against the wall like you did with Carmelo, and if it doesn't work, who cares? You only got a couple million.
I think Russell Westbrook, first of all, I think his shots are going to become easier with James Harden. I don't think he's ever played with a guard that can create offense for him. So I think the looks that he's going to have with James Harden from three are going to be a lot better than the looks he was getting when he was creating the offense himself. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to be dribbling and always have the ball in your hands when the shot clock's winding down, and a lot of times you force threes.
Right.
I think the looks Russell Westbrook's going to get are a lot easier. I think that the tempo that the Rockets play at is not going to be quite what it was in Phoenix with Mike D'Antoni, but I do think they're going to play a lot faster with the three guards of James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Eric Gordon. And I also think this. I think that the minutes restrictions, I'm not saying you're going to rest them completely, but I think you're going to be able to rest James Harden a lot more and Russell Westbrook a lot more, to where either one of them on any given night will be playing without the other in certain times.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be set up to where maybe, you know, in the first quarter, James Harden goes to the bench at the under six, under eight timeout. I could see that. And I think you're going to be able to restrict that. And the reason I like this trade is because I think James Harden, I think last year he had to do a little bit too much. He had to carry this team when Chris Paul was out. He had to carry this team when Clint Capella was out. And as you creep into your 30s, you'd like to see your stars as fresh as possible in the playoffs. That just wasn't possible with Chris Paul here. He missed 48 games in the regular season his 2 years here. Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook, he's missed 14 games in the last 4 years and 29 in the last five.
Yeah, he's durable.
So the thing is, like, there are certain nights where maybe you'd like to rest James Harden, but the Rockets didn't have that luxury. I think that Russell Westbrook, on certain nights, you can say, James Harden, put your flashy suit on or whatever the hell you decide to wear on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Sit this one out. We'll roll the ball out there and let Russell Westbrook take us home. I think this helps James Harden, and it makes it more possible that he's fresher in the postseason.
You know, in terms of strategy as well, like I said, just the style. I think I don't know how programmed he is to do this or preconditioned, but I think Mike D'Antoni can sit some guys out of games entirely. You know, do the Popovich
thing.
What
I'm saying.
You just manage, you know, minutes management, and maybe do that. So there are some benefits. I'm completely enthralled and intrigued by this. I just don't know if it works, and that leads to the risks.
Yeah, that's 100%. And the risks are very obvious. Landry Locker, John Lopez talking about the risks with Russell Westbrook being paired with James Harden. I mean, the risks, obviously, two ball-dominant guys, alphas. Is that going to work? You mentioned Russell Westbrook not being able to shoot, which is something that, you know, the Daryl Morey mentality, you know, threes and layups. That's the thing. The risks are very obvious. But my thing on all these risks, the risks are well documented. I think the risk of Russell Westbrook and James Harden figuring it out as they creep in on their 30s, chasing that first ring, I think the risks of two elite guys finding ways to coexist are less of a risk than trying to battle father time with Chris Paul, mm-hmm. especially when his bark is still as loud, is still so much louder than his bite as he ages. And you don't know what could have happened next season, assuming that James Harden and Chris Paul were butting heads. And I think the evidence there is there to say that they were butting heads.
Those reports were accurate. No matter what the Rockets said, told us, those reports were accurate.
Yeah,
it's not that big of an obvious, you know, improvement here. In fact, in some cases, as we're talking about the risks, and we'll get into more, it's not an improvement.
Yeah,
you know, Chris Paul to Westbrook.
I mean, you're definitely taking a risk, but it's. I don't know that Chris Paul went in and demanded a trade, but I think there was a rift. Mm-hmm. I think it could have been a little bit exaggerated, those reports, but I just think this risk is less of a risk than running it back with Chris Paul.
I think there's a few risks here that I can add to yours. I keep going back to Mike D'Antoni. I said this earlier, and I really mean it, and I'll explain it. You kind of gave Mike D'Antoni a Rubik's Cube with one of the stickers missing. I mean, you got to put all this stuff and make it just perfectly clear and make it work with two guys that just have never done that before. They take 45 shots a game combined last year. That's a lot of shots for two dudes. Mike D'Antoni, on top of having to make this work, is having to make it work with an entirely new staff that has been or will be, you know, crammed down his throat without Jeff Bizdelic, by the way, who's going to end up in New Orleans, it looks like, and in the last year of his contract. So Mike D'Antoni is painted into a corner here, kind of to mix metaphors, you know, he's playing without a net. He really is. He doesn't have his defensive guy. He's going to have an all-new staff, and he's in the last year of his contract, and he's going to have to make two ball-dominant guys work.
He has a relationship with Russ Westbrook, and my thing is this. It might not work, but if it's going to work, they have the right coach for it to work, in my opinion. I think Mike D'Antoni has shown he's an offensive innovator.
But he is
innovator.
Painted into the corner. I mean, there's no way you can deny that he's not.
Yeah, well, he's painted into a corner, but I think anyone would be. I think if this doesn't work, it's not because Mike D'Antoni wasn't capable. It's because it just wouldn't work under any scenario. Let's go to Tanner. Tanner, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, Landry, I was listening earlier when you said that you thought the Chris Paul trade was a failure.
For sure, for sure.
But because you judge trade based off of how it performs against expectations, right?
Sure.
What was your expectations when that trade occurred of the Rockets? What was your honest expectation?
What is your point?
Well,
what was your expectation?
I thought they would compete and at least put up a fight against the Warriors. I didn't think that they would beat the Warriors, the first team I've ever seen with negative big going into the year to win the title.
Well, let me say something real quick, because I also think it was a failure, and here's why. I think I can illustrate it for you a little better here, Tanner, because the Rockets went to the Western Conference Finals without Chris Paul. So they brought Chris Paul in for one reason, and that is to get to the NBA Finals. So by definition, that did not happen. That means it failed, because they had tasted the conference finals without Chris Paul. They brought Chris Paul in to take the next step. They didn't take the next step. That's a failure.
Against a totally different team. That's no nuance looking at that, John. You've been doing this too long. Sports is not black and white.
You're right. There is no nuance. It's very straightforward. They made the conference finals. They brought in a guy because they didn't think they were equipped to take the next step, and they didn't take the next step. By definition, that's
I'm asking you this. Like, when they traded for Chris Paul and you knew the contract was coming, did you expect 1 year into that whole Chris Paul process for him to have one of the worst contracts in the NBA? Like, did you see that? Did you see that coming at 34? Because I can't say that I did, but the fact that it came as fast as it did, and the fact that now all of a sudden you have chaos in the locker room, the guy broke down when you needed him most and already had the durability concerns a couple seasons ago, and then you had to take on a risk and bring in a player who Daryl Morey himself has questioned. There's tweets, the receipts are there on that, and now you're taking this risk. Based on that, yes, I would say it's a failure. And to take it a step further, there's been other guys traded around the NBA that maybe could have been better fits and gotten you close to the Warriors as well. Like, it's not like Chris Paul was the only superstar who got traded. Paul George got traded. Kawhi Leonard's been traded. Anthony Davis has been traded. You've seen all these guys get traded. So, yes, I would say, looking back on it, yeah, the Chris Paul trade was a failure. Do you think if I gave Daryl Morey a time machine, I understand his thinking then, but if I gave Daryl Morey a time machine to 2 years ago and I said, all right, I'm going to put you back to the moment you made that Chris Paul trade, do you think he makes the trade again?
Yes, I do.
And then he's a don. Then he is a. Then Daryl Morey is not as smart as I think he is. If Daryl Morey, given the benefit of hindsight, would hop in a time machine. I appreciate your call, Tanner. I mean, no disrespect. We're up against it. But if Daryl Morey, if I gave him a time machine and he would really make that trade all over again, given the situation you're in right now, then Daryl Morey is not the genius that we label him to be. He would 100% not do that.
He would make another trade that could maybe get them to
exactly.
the finals. Exactly. You know, because that one didn't. That one didn't.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I've been saying it for a while. You know, when the guy breaks down and his contract's already one of the worst the second you agree to it, I just don't see how you can consider that trade a success. Now, can you validate it by saying, yes, I knew what he was thinking when he did it? Absolutely, 100%. And I commend Daryl Morey for doing that. But a lot of times you have good intentions, but it just doesn't pay out. And the reason that Chris Paul's not here is because that trade wasn't a success. That's just my opinion, but we value yours as well here. 713-572-4610. Polarizing guy coming into the locker room, Russell Westbrook. We know the Rockets are bringing one in. Could the Astros be next? And we want to hear some people who aren't in favor of this trade, because it's been a very, very strange experience for me. Because normally when you brought up the name Russell Westbrook as recent as 24 hours ago, Figgy, the lines would light up, the text lines would light up, and you would think Russell Westbrook was like hooked up with someone's mom or something like that. Now I'm looking at the lines. I can't find anybody saying a bad thing about Russell Westbrook. Where the hell are you guys at? 713-572-4610. More with Lopez and Landry next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.